Here is a thing that can happen with words. Two people can stand in the same room, on the same afternoon, and say the very same three words to each other, and mean two completely different things by them. Neither one is lying, neither one stops to say so, and everybody listening goes home certain they heard the same sentence. That is not a riddle, it is a transcript. Picture a hearing room in the United States Senate. The date is May 11th, 2021. The country is 14 months into a pandemic, masks on the people in the gallery, careful distance between the seats, and the question pressing on everyone outside that room is simple and frightened and direct. Did the United States government pay to make a virus more dangerous? At the witness table is a man the whole country has been watching for more than a year, Dr. Anthony Fauci. For decades, he has run a federal institute that funds research on dangerous viruses. He has testified in rooms like this one more times than almost anyone alive. He knows exactly how a single word can be parsed. Across from him, a senator and physician, Rand Paul of Kentucky, leans into his microphone, and you can feel the temperature in the room start to climb. And over the next 90 seconds, the two of them are going to use the same three words, gain of function, to mean two completely different things, and neither one is going to say so. Paul makes his charge in plain English. He says the lab in Wuhan had been working to make a coronavirus better at infecting people, that this was gain-of-function research, and that American money helped pay for it. And Fauci answers, not carefully, not with a hedge, flatly. Listen to the words as they sit in the official record of that hearing.
It is not gain-of-function. And if you look at the grant and you look at the progress reports, it is not gain-of-function.
If you were watching that on television, you heard a denial, a plain, clean, English language denial that the government had paid to make a virus more dangerous. He said it twice. It is not. That is what most people heard, and that is a reasonable thing to have heard. Now jump forward 3 years, same man, no cameras, no clock running. Behind closed doors under oath, congressional investigators sit Anthony Fauci down and ask him to slow all the way down and define his terms. And he explains that the denial you just heard had never meant what the country thought it meant. It had been true, but true in a very particular, very narrow, very technical way. A way the public was simply never handed. That gap between the sentence people heard and the sentence he was actually saying is the whole story. It is a story about a word and about how a true answer can leave a room knowing less than it did before. So that is what we are going to do. We are going to take one phrase, follow it as it splits into three separate meanings, and show you exactly how that happens. From the newsroom of Fauci's lies, this is The Public Record. I'm Brian. Episode 3, The Definition Problem. Before we go anywhere, let me put a few people and a few words in your hand, because this episode lives or dies on keeping them straight. If you are new here, you lose nothing. We will build it from the ground. First, the phrase itself. Gain of function. In plain English, a gain of function experiment is one that gives something a new ability or makes an ability it already has stronger. You take an organism, say a virus, and you change it so it can now do something it couldn't do before or do it better. That is the everyday meaning. Hold on to it. The whole trouble in this story is that the everyday meaning is not the only meaning, and the people in that hearing room were not all using the same one. Second, the people. Anthony Fauci ran a federal agency called the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. The short name is NIAID. If it is easier, just think Fauci's Institute. It funded the infectious disease research at the center of this fight, and it sits inside the larger National Institutes of Health, the NIH. The senator pressing him that day is Rand Paul. For our purposes, Paul matters for one reason. The hearing produced an official transcript, and that transcript caught Fauci's answer, in public, on the record. And third, the money because the NIH funded it can sound abstract, and it isn't. The path of the dollars went like this. Fauci's Institute, NIAID, awarded a grant to a New York nonprofit called EcoHealth Alliance. Say it, EcoHealth. EcoHealth, in turn, sent part of that money overseas to a research partner, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, to study bat coronaviruses. Federal Institute, to New York nonprofit to overseas lab. You don't have to hold the details. The point is just that public money funded research, and some of that research happened at the Wuhan lab. That money trail is real and it is not in dispute. What is in dispute, the entire fight, is what to call the experiments at the end of it. And one more thing, before your ears get hot, because this is exactly where coverage of this story tends to go off the rails. This episode is about one narrow, almost boring sounding thing, the funded experiments and what you can and cannot truthfully call them. It is not about where COVID came from. That sounds smaller than the headlines. It is smaller than the headlines. But it turns out to be the thing the whole public fight was actually about, and almost nobody named it. Okay. With those in hand, go back into the room. Senator Paul makes his charge, and I want to attribute it carefully, because these are his words, his framing, not a finding of ours. Paul says the Wuhan Institute of Virology had been, in his words, experimenting to enhance the coronavirus's ability to infect humans. He calls that gain-of-function research. In another moment, he sharpens it and says the work was meant to create superviruses, and he says the NIH paid for it. Notice which meaning Paul is using. He is using the big one, the everyday one, the one you are holding. Take a virus, make it better at infecting people. That is a new ability. That is a gain of function, plain as day. That is the broad meaning, swung like a hammer. And on its own terms, it is a perfectly reasonable way to use the words. And then Fauci answers, same three words.
It is not gain of function. And if you look at the grant, and you look at the progress reports, it is not gain of function.
Here is the thing I need you to see, and it is the hinge of the whole hour. Paul swung the broad meaning. Fauci answered with a different meaning, a narrow technical one he never names out loud. Two definitions passed each other in the air of that room, in the same sentence, in the same breath, on live television. And nobody watching could possibly have known it. There is no asterisk you can hear. There is no footnote in a man's voice. You just hear it is not gain of function, and you file it away as the answer is no. And think about who was actually listening that day. Not a room of virologists, people at home, on the couch, more than a year into a pandemic that had killed hundreds of thousands of Americans, scared, looking for someone to tell them the truth in a language they could understand. The question underneath Paul's question, did we help build the thing that did this to us, is about as high stakes as a public question gets. And the answer that comes back is three flat words. It is not gain of function. To a frightened person at home, that does not sound like a regulatory finding. It sounds like a man saying, no, we didn't do that. Rest easy. So which meaning was Fauci using? He didn't say. For 3 years, he didn't say. And then under oath, he did. January 8, 2024. A different kind of room entirely, and the format matters, so let me tell you what it is. This is what is called a transcribed interview, run by the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic. It is not a TV hearing. There is no 5-minute clock, no cameras, no cable news segment to get to. It is investigators and lawyers in a room, on the record, under oath, with a court reporter taking down every word. And they can slow all the way down and make a witness define his terms, word by word, until there is nothing left to define. It is a congressional investigation, not a court. Its job is to gather records, not to hand down verdicts. And it is the one setting in all of Washington built to do the thing a televised hearing can never do. Stop someone mid-sentence and say, define your terms. And that is exactly what they did. With all the time in the world, the staff asked Anthony Fauci to do the one thing the cable exchanges never had time for. They asked him to say what gain of function actually means. And he agreed, this is the key, that the phrase had been used in at least three distinct ways. I am going to walk you through all three, slowly, because once you hold these three apart in your head, this whole confusing fight suddenly becomes simple. And I should tell you up front, to be fair, that three-part breakdown wasn't a trap sprung by critics. The framing was put to Fauci by the minority's own counsel, the lawyers working for the side more sympathetic to him, and Fauci confirmed it. So this is his own taxonomy on the record, agreed to in a room where he had every chance to push back. Definition 1, The broad one? Call it the layman's one, the one you have been holding since the top of the show. In the record, it is described as research that, and here I will let the record speak. Daniel.
Modifies a biological agent so that it confers new or enhanced activity to that agent.
New or enhanced activity, that is it. Change a thing so it can do something new or do it stronger. By Fauci's own account, some scientists use the term that broadly for any such change. And this is important. He said this broad usage had, in his words, no formal regulatory significance, meaning it is how people talk. It is the dictionary, not the rule book. And under this first definition, an enormous amount of laboratory work counts as gain of function, maybe most of it. Hold that thought because it comes back. Definition 2, the 2014 federal moratorium. Now we are moving from how people talk to what the government actually did. Back in 2014, the U.S. government got nervous about a specific slice of risky research and hit pause on the funding. A moratorium, a freeze, and it spelled out exactly what it was freezing.
Reasonably anticipated to confer attributes to influenza, MERS, or SARS viruses, such that the virus would have enhanced pathogenicity and/or transmissibility in mammals via the respiratory route.
Let me translate that out of bureaucrat and flag a couple of words as I go. Pathogenicity just means the ability to cause disease, how sick something makes you. Transmissibility is how easily it spreads. And via the respiratory route means through the air, the way you'd catch a cold. So definition two is the government saying, we will not fund work expected to make flu or MERS or SARS viruses better at making you sick or better at spreading through the air. That is narrower than definition one. It names specific viruses. It has a purpose. One quick footnote so you are not thrown. MERS is a different coronavirus disease. It is not COVID. It is in there only because the rule listed it. That 2014 rule was a blunt instrument, broad strokes, and it stayed in force until 2017 when the government replaced it, which brings us to the definition that actually matters. Definition 3, the 2017 framework. Its formal name sounds like a parking permit, P3CO. Say it as P3CO. You don't need to memorize the letters. Think of it as a regulatory gate, a specific government checkpoint that a risky experiment has to pass through for extra higher-level review. And the gate has a very narrow opening. Most research walks right past it, no stop required. It only swings shut for something the policy calls a potential pandemic pathogen. And here is the record's own framing of what that is.
Likely to be highly transmissible and spread widely, and likely to cause a high degree of morbidity and mortality.
Read that slowly, because it is doing a lot of work. A potential pandemic pathogen isn't just a virus you have made a little nastier. It is a virus already capable of seeding a pandemic, already in the danger zone, that an experiment is then expected to make even more transmissible or even more deadly. That is a high bar, a genuinely high bar. And the gate only slams down when both halves are true. A pandemic-grade pathogen and work expected to make it worse. That is the function of the operative definition. It isn't a description of what is dangerous in the abstract. It is a switch that decides whether a particular experiment needs extra scrutiny before the money flows. So now hold the three of them up side by side, because this is the payoff, and I want it clean. Definition one, the everyday one, sweeps in almost any change that adds an ability. Wide net, no legal teeth. Definition two, the 2014 freeze, a blunt government funding pause, aimed at making flu, MERS, or SARS viruses more dangerous to spread. Definition three, the 2017 gate, narrow legalistic, triggered only by experiments on viruses already capable of causing a pandemic. These are not the same thing. They are not even close to the same thing. And here is the sentence I most want you to carry out of this act, because it is the whole engine of the confusion. A great deal of research is gain of function under definition one, the wide one, and not gain of function under definition three, the narrow one. Same experiment. two true, opposite-sounding answers. It just depends which net you are holding. And if you want a homely way to keep this straight, try this one. Think about the word organic. At a farmer's market, organic means roughly grown without the nasty stuff, a loose, everyday sense. But on a federal food label, organic is a legal term with a precise list of rules behind it. And a farm can fail that legal test while still, in plain language, growing food the careful way. Now picture someone asking a farmer on live television, "Is your food organic?" And the farmer says no, meaning the strict legal label, while the whole audience hears no, meaning the everyday sense. Nobody's lying, but the answer lands wrong. That is the exact shape of what happened with the word gain of function. One word, a farmer's market meaning and a federal label meaning, and the audience was holding the wrong one. So when somebody asks Anthony Fauci, "Are you funding gain of function research?" which net is he holding when he answers? He told us, plainly under oath, in that 2024 interview, and he gave the narrow one, definition 3, a name. He called it the operative definition, his word, the one that operates, the one with legal force. He testified that the P3CO framework came out of years of deliberation and gave them, in his words, a very precise definition. And then came the move the public, back in 2021, never got to hear. The moment he explained which definition lives in his head when somebody asked him the question. Daniel, the pivot.
When I said, we do not fund gain of function according to the strict definition, which I refer to as the operative definition. When someone asks me, as a scientist, are you doing gain of function? Is that gain of function? I always apply it to the operative definition of gain of function.
I always apply it to the operative definition, always. That is the missing clause. That is the asterisk you couldn't hear in the hearing room. So when Rand Paul asked the broad question, did you fund work that made a virus more dangerous? And Fauci answered it is not gain of function. He was answering against the narrow regulatory gate. Definition 3. Every single time, he just didn't say so. Now I need to slow all the way down here, because this is the fork in the road where it would be easy and cheap to score a point. And here is where this show holds its line. The narrow definition was not a trick. Fauci is a scientist and a regulator. When a term has a precise legal meaning and gain of function in the federal rulebook did have one, applying that precise meaning is precision, not evasion. The narrow definition was real. It was the binding federal standard. It was the actual rule that decided whether a given experiment needed extra government review. A scientist who hears, "Are you doing gain of function?" and reaches for the regulatory meaning is using a word the way his field uses it. That move was legitimate. So let me locate the problem exactly, because precision is the whole point of this episode. The difficulty is not that Fauci used the narrow definition. He is allowed to use the narrow definition. The difficulty is this. When he used it in public, he did not say he was using it. That is the whole thing, that one sentence. He gave a yes or no answer, in plain English, to a room full of people using the plain English meaning, and the answer secretly ran on a definition only he was holding. He answered a plain public question with a private dictionary, and he didn't hand the public the dictionary. And here is why that gap is so easy to miss and so hard to defend at the same time. In a grant review in a room full of people who all know the operative definition, Fauci's answer isn't just acceptable, it is the correct answer, the precise one. But move that exact same sentence to a podium in front of an audience that has never heard the words potential pandemic pathogen in their lives, and the precision becomes its own kind of fog. The more technically careful the answer, the less the public can actually understand it. That is the strange trap of this whole story. The accuracy and the confusion are the same sentence. There is one more term before we weigh all this, and it is the reason this episode is called the definition problem and not just the definition. Because the operative definition didn't fall out of the sky fixed and final. It moved. It got redefined by the government on the record in plain view. Go back to definition 2 for a second. That blunt 2014 moratorium, the wide funding pause on making flu, MERS or SARS viruses more dangerous to spread. In 2017, the government retired that blunt rule and replaced it with the narrow gate, Definition 3. And here is Fauci himself, in his own words, describing what that swap did.
An even more specific set of definitions, potential pandemic pathogen, which is a multi-part definition, and all sorts of carve-outs.
A multi-part definition and all sorts of carve-outs. Hear what that means. The rule got narrower. It went from a broad class of dangerous viral enhancements down to a tightly bounded category, only the pandemic-capable stuff, with exceptions written in. And that is a perfectly legitimate thing for a government to do. Narrowing a rule so it captures only the genuinely catastrophic cases, instead of freezing every routine lab procedure, is a defensible regulatory choice. You can argue it was the right call. But it had a side effect, and the side effect is the quiet heart of this whole thing. As the official definition got narrower, the set of experiments an official could truthfully call not gain of function got bigger. The regulatory category shrank. The honest deniability zone expanded. And meanwhile, out in the world, at kitchen tables, on television, the everyday meaning of the phrase didn't budge an inch. The public was still holding definition one, the big net. The government had quietly switched to a small one. The rule book moved. The dictionary stayed put. And a person watching at home never sees that shift. They have never read the P3CO framework. They have one meaning of the phrase. And when the official says it is not, they don't hear a narrow regulatory finding. They hear, no, we didn't do the scary thing. They are standing on ground that is moving, and nobody hands them the map. Which brings us to the question you have probably been holding this whole time. Fine, Brian, so was the Wuhan work gain of function, or wasn't it? Just tell me. And the only honest answer I can give you, the only one the documents support, is a question back. Under which definition? That genuinely is the answer. Let me show you both, because the record gives us both. Take the broad one first. Definition 1. Did the funded work give a virus a new or enhanced ability? For that, we don't need anybody's opinion. We have the grant's own progress report, the paperwork the researchers themselves sent back up the chain to the agency that paid them. As this series documented in our last episode, the funded researchers built chimeric coronaviruses, engineered hybrids, viruses stitched together from pieces of others, and tested them in humanized lab mice. And one of those built viruses made the mice noticeably sicker. The report records it in its own words.
The pathogenicity of SHC014 is higher.
Higher pathogenicity. Remember the translation, pathogenicity is the ability to cause disease. The engineered virus made those animals sicker. And under the broad layman's definition, conferring an enhanced ability like that is a gain of function, almost by construction. That is not a leap. That is what the words mean. The researchers did something to the virus. The virus gained a function. The report says so in the grantee's own words. So under definition one, yes. You don't even have to argue. You just read. And I have to put a hard fence around that yes, because it would be so easy to run past it. Saying that experiment was a gain of function under the broad definition is not the same as saying it caused the pandemic. It is not. And it is absolutely not the same as saying it produced the virus that caused COVID. The record does not say that, and neither do I. The grant paperwork establishes one specific narrow thing, that a modified virus was more pathogenic in the animals tested. That is the broad definition answer, and only that. Hold that fence. Now the operative one. Definition 3, the narrow gate. And here the answer flips. And it doesn't flip because we are being generous. It flips because the NIH itself says so, in its own name. In October of 2021, the NIH's principal deputy director, a man named Lawrence Tabak, that is spelled T-A-B-A-K, wrote a letter to Congress, to Representative James Comer, addressing exactly this work. And I want to flag why this letter matters. This is not a critic's summary, and it is not a defender's spin. This is the agency speaking for itself, on paper. Here is what it said about whether the work tripped the regulatory gate.
Was not subject to departmental review under the HHS P3CO framework.
not subject to that review because the NIH's position is these viruses were not potential pandemic pathogens. They weren't in the danger zone the narrow definition is built around. They didn't trip the operative wire. And on the bigger fear, the question of whether this work could have become the pandemic virus, the same letter was just as direct.
Could not have become SARS-CoV-2.
Could not have become the virus that caused COVID. That is the NIH in its own name, on the record. So under definition 3, no. That letter is a real document, a real position, and it answers a real question, and we are representing it here in full. So now look at what you are holding. Under the broad definition, yes, the report says the modified virus was more pathogenic. Under the operative definition, no, the NIH says these weren't pandemic pathogens, the review didn't apply, they couldn't have become COVID. And here is the part that drives people crazy, and it is the truest thing in this episode. Both of those answers can be right at the same time. They are not in a fist fight. They are answers to two different questions. The broad answer is answering, did you add an ability? The narrow answer is answering, did you cross the regulatory line for pandemic-grade danger? Different questions, different nets. Both answered honestly, and nobody at that Senate hearing told the audience which question was being answered. That, exactly that, is the definition problem, sitting right out in the open. This is the part of every one of our episodes where I stop building the case and read you both columns of the ledger, what the documents actually establish, and, just as important, what they do not. On this story more than almost any other, that line matters, so I'm going to read both columns out loud, slowly and plainly. Here is what the record establishes. 1. By Fauci's own sworn testimony, the phrase gain of function carried at least three distinct meanings, and he told investigators that when he is asked, as a scientist, he always, his word, answers with the narrowest one, the regulatory one, the operative one. 2. In public, in 2021, he denied funding gain-of-function research without ever indicating that his denial rested on that one specific, narrow definition. The room heard plain English. The answer ran on a term of art. The clause was true. The clause was also silent. 3. That operative definition had itself been narrowed in 2017, which means the ground under the word not had shifted. There was simply more that could truthfully be called not gain-of-function than there had been a few years before, even as the public's everyday meaning of the phrase stayed exactly where it was. That is the first column. Now the second one. And I want to say each of these out loud in my own voice, because they are not footnotes, they are the guardrails of this whole episode. The record does not establish that Anthony Fauci lied, and this show does not assert it. Applying a precise regulatory definition is legitimate. The name on this masthead is not the verdict of this episode. The record does not establish that the narrow definition was cooked up to dodge this question. It wasn't. The P3CO framework was finalized in 2017. This controversy didn't boil over until years later. The definition predates the fight. It was the binding federal standard before any of this was a headline. Before that Senate hearing, before most people had ever heard the phrase gain of function. Nobody invented it in a back room to give Anthony Fauci an escape hatch on live TV. You can't invent, after the fact, a rule that was already on the books. And the record does not establish that the broad critics are simply right, that this work cleared the bar for pandemic risk. It doesn't say that. The NIH's contrary position, not subject to P3CO review, could not have become the virus that caused COVID, is on the record, in its own letter, in its own name, and we have represented it here, in full, not knocked it down. If you walked away from this episode thinking we had proven the critics right, we would have failed just as badly as if we had called it a lie. And I want to be especially careful with one more thing, because it is the easiest place in this whole story to overreach. Nothing we have laid out tells you where COVID came from. Not one document in this episode answers that question. The Grants Progress Report tells you what one funded experiment did to some mice. The tobacco letter tells you these particular viruses couldn't have become the pandemic virus. The transcripts tell you which definition Fauci was using. That is it. The origin of the pandemic is a separate question with a separate body of evidence. And anyone who tells you this definition fight settles it in either direction is reaching past what these papers actually say. And here is the fairness underneath all of it in one line. Both of the central people in this story have a real point, and you can hold both at once. Paul's point is real under the meaning ordinary people use. An experiment that makes a virus better at causing disease is a gain of function, and the paperwork shows that happened. Fauci's point is also real. There is a precise federal definition with an actual gate attached, and by that definition, the answer is genuinely no. Neither of them is hallucinating. They are standing on opposite ends of the same word. The failure isn't that one of them was lying. It is that the one with the microphone, in the moment the public most needed the word defined, left it undefined. So if it isn't a lie, what is it? The failure the documents actually show is narrower than a lie and sharper than a misunderstanding, and it has a precise name. It is about candor, a public yes or no answer that secretly turned on a definition the audience was never given. And here is why that matters. Our newsroom put it in a single image, and I will borrow it because it is exactly right. A term of art is a fine thing in a regulatory filing. Lawyers and scientists use precise definitions all day long, and they should. But a term of art is a dangerous thing at a podium. When an official answers a plain, frightened public question, "Did we pay to make this virus more dangerous?" with a word he is quietly defining more narrowly than everyone listening, the public isn't exactly lied to. It is something subtler. They are handed a true sentence they have no way to evaluate. They are quietly disqualified from the conversation about their own safety. And the remedy, this is the part that stays with me, the remedy was never a verdict on virology. It wasn't a lab report. It wasn't some grand confession. It was one clause, four words, by the regulatory definition. If Fauci had said that out loud in 2021, "It is not gain of function by the regulatory definition," he would have turned a flat denial into an honest, contestable claim. Something a citizen could actually push back on. Left unsaid, that same definition stopped being a tool for precision. It became a place to hide. So that is the answer to the question episode 2 left you holding. When officials fought over whether the Wuhan work was gain of function, were they arguing about the facts or the definition? Mostly the definition. The facts of the experiment were sitting right there, in the grant's own paperwork. What people couldn't agree on, what they were never even given the tools to agree on, was which meaning of the word to hold while they read it. They meant at least three different things. And in the one room where it mattered most, in front of the most people, nobody said which. We have now watched the same gap twice. A private uncertainty turned into a public certainty. A precise, narrow word turned into a flat public denial. Next time, we follow that exact same gap to a place every single one of us actually lived it. Not in a hearing room, but in a grocery store aisle, in a closed school, in a strip of tape on the floor telling you where to stand. The rules that governed how far apart we had to stand, which schools could open, and what the evidence behind those rules actually was underneath the confidence. Next time on the public record, 6 feet apart. The public record is a production of the Fauci's Lies newsroom. Every quotation you heard read aloud in this episode was quoted verbatim from the public record, sworn testimony, the hearing transcript, and the NIH's own letter to Congress. The sources are footnoted in our companion investigation, Gain of Function, defined and redefined at fauciuslies.com. I'm Brian. Thanks for listening. End of episode. Document voice lines SR01, SR4, SR05, SR6, SR08, S10, S11, S12 are verbatim from flagship number 4, gainoffunctiondefined.mdx, and traced in sourcemap.md. Reverify against corpus PDFs, 2024 transcribed interview part 1, PP4549. Senate help, 2021, CHRG 117, CHRG 6765, tobacco letter, 2021 to 10 to 20, before final render. SR06 verbatim span used. Likely to be highly transmissible and spread widely, and likely to cause a high degree of morbidity and mortality. Other definition three language is Brian's summary. Only quoted spans go to Daniel. Paul's broad charge fragments, experimenting to enhance the coronavirus ability to infect humans, gain of function research, create superviruses, are attributed to Paul in host voice, not read as document voice, to keep the hearing room collision in Brian's narration. All appear verbatim in flagship number 4, Sikina rhyme, sequence number 4. Document voice bracket to an SO6 is in the source quote. Editorial insertion preserved verbatim. Daniel reads it as two. House voice boundary held. No lied. Cover up. They knew. Proves. No house voice assertion that the work was not gain of function. No claim the grant produced SARS-CoV-2. TTS respellings of record terms appear only in host narration. Document voice lines are left verbatim, e.g. SHC-014, SARS-CoV-2, HHSP-3CO framework, MERS. So the reader voice matches the source text exactly. Pronunciation handling for the reader is in pronunciationguide.memdd. Next episode label, 6 feet apart, per recommended release order. Confirm with showrunner before lock. V2 line edit. Trim defensive negations in host narration. Cold open, Act 1, origin disclaimer. Act 3, not a dodge. Act 4, I am not dodging. Act 5, fairness trio. Fairness point stated once in Act 5. All document voice lines, cues, and act structure unchanged from V1.